I was fired once because, and in fact, the boss fired me as he was firing me because I exposed corruption in the business, and it was his friend that was doing it, and he didn't like that. That happens. He said, "You're an exceptional person." Now, it was a compliment, but it didn't help my paycheck any. And it's to be a witness. Because at the end of life, what kind of a witness? What is the testimony of your life to your children? Were you talking to yourself all the time, or were you talking to the Father? Because if you're talking to your Heavenly Father through Christ, you're dealing with their soul. If you're talking to yourself in relationship, even in your home, you're talking to their flesh. So this is where the world hates chastening. You notice that? They got rid of it, the paddle in the schools, and now all these social issues about, you know, paddling. Because it has rejected God. Because it's our Father that gives us, and the structure of the family is the Father. I'm focused on the Father. Because the world focuses on the family. You know, focus on the family, they missed it. It's to be focused on the Father. See, and so the Father gives commands and rules to be obeyed. Facts and truth to be accepted as is. Now that's narrow-minded. You know that? Believers are all called to be narrow-minded. You open up the Word of God and God says, be narrow-minded. Isn't that true? Straight and narrow? So, there it is. I mean, God actually admits he is narrow-minded. No shadow of turning. You ever do drywalling? You know, you put a light on the wall and you see some shadows, you know it's not smooth. You know? But you can put a light on any wall that God's built and there's no shadow. No shadow of turning. What he is from the beginning, he is to the end. Alpha, Omega. He is always the same. Totally predictable. Not changeable at all. You know, the world's all about change. See, that's feelings. Because your feelings change, don't you? You came in here, you had breakfast. I guarantee in a few hour or two, you're going to be changing. You're going to be hungry. We're not satisfied. We're constantly changing. And that's the flesh. The flesh is always changing, responding to the situations we're in. But God is not changing, so he's called us to deny ourselves, which will always go with the change, and to be sound and solid and straight in him. So Hebrews gives us a pattern. And if you've all heard this, you know, Marx recognized this. Marx writes. And all this, our culture is built on Marxism. He's father, you know, once the earthly father is discovered to be the secret of the heavenly father, he understood that that traditional home actually affects how the children think. And so if the child's been in a home where the father gives facts, you know, commands and rules to be obeyed and facts and truth to be accepted as is and blesses those children, here's the pattern, bless those children who obey. And you need to do that. Don't just go by them. You know, they're okay. And no, thank them. You know, appreciate that. Encourage them. Don't you need them? What would it be if God was always looking at you on the negative end? But doesn't he encourage you? Aren't we to encourage one another in the Lord? And so recognize and bless. And this was the old traditional classroom. You know, you did your work right. You got an A. That was an encouragement. But if you didn't do your homework, or you did it wrong, what happened? You were chastened. You know, you have to do that. Because if you're teaching right and wrong, and that's God's way of doing things, right and wrong, I'm right and the world's wrong, then if you don't have chastening, why bother? Why bother doing what's right? See, the world wants, because why interfere with yourself? You know, do whatever you feel like doing. You know, I'm okay, you're okay. That's all selfishness. I have on my website a picture of Obama. He's teaching a class in Chicago for Acorn. And he taught in a university, you know that. And he was writing up the relationship built on self-interest. Wow. That's not good. Say, you're going gold hunting, you're looking for gold, and you have a friend. Now you have a self-interest, right? And he has a self-interest. And so you have a common self-interest. And that's okay until you find gold. You better watch your back because your friend's self-interest might cost you your life. philosophy, if the heart is not humble, if it's not, if there is no principle, if there is just selfishness, you know, what if the world around you and you are just thinking about what can I get out of this for me? And that's the world we live in. It's a dangerous situation. And that's dog-eat-dog world. But God hasn't given us that. The Lord has given us this humbling of self so that we might do what the Father gives us to do, which is right. So righteousness is all about doing the Father's will. Now this is, I've shared this over and over. You know, I shared this process first few years with just academics. You know, thesis, antithesis, synthesis, and everybody would, oh, that's great, you know, that's wonderful, and share a little, you know, I share the word in there, but then I started sharing the words, and the first time I shared the words, and I'll go through that this morning, because I didn't get through it really yesterday, it got personal. The first time I used PowerPoint, I'll just share this with you, first time I used PowerPoint, because every time I spoke for 4.5 hours with no notes and just spoke, you know, and everybody's just, wow, because it was, you know, you told what, 45 minutes max? Nobody, 4 hours later, and I'm exhausted. My feet are killing me. And they say, and I'd stop. These guys need a break. And they're staring at me like, don't you have more? Because it was all making sense. Well, as I forgot where I was going on that. But it just, the position that we are given by God, which interferes with ourself, is really what I'm going after in a classroom. I'm just giving you bits and pieces. I'll try to remember what I have the senior moments, you know. The when I as a teacher ask your children for a position, and this is a trap. I'm tricking your child. I might ask your child to defend their position. This is what your daughter's running into, okay? But it's a trap. Because none of us have a position of ourselves. Remember, self has no identity. Self is looking for identity, either with the world or with the soul, with God. See, it's sort of the halfway thing. You don't get rid of yourself. You got to keep it around. but it's a real nuisance if you don't keep control of it. And so if I ask you, say you're a child in my classroom, I ask you to defend your position. Of course, I have 20 other students or 19 other, and they have different positions because they come from different homes. And you start to defend your position, you can't. Because your dad gave you that position. Your mom or somebody else in the past gave you a position. This is right and that's not. Because that's a position. You know, this position is right and that position is not. This position is mine. That position is not mine. See, this is my property. Your property is not my property. My property is my property. And so that's a position. But a child can't defend a position because they weren't given that position. The parent gave them that position. It didn't come from them. Self has no position. Self is all over the place. See, whatever can get out of the moment. And so your child then realizes that they cannot defend their position. You cannot defend your faith. You can't defend your faith. It's called shield of faith, right? So defend your shield. What, does that make any sense? You know, you're here in battle. You know, the arrows are coming. And you go, gee, I'm going to defend my shield. I'm going to protect it. What's going to happen? See, your faith, you know what the faith is? When dad told you to do something and you didn't understand it, but you went and did it, that's faith. That's actually an act of faith. And Marx figured this stuff out. I contend 99.9% of our ministers don't understand that. See, when you obey somebody that as they give you something to do which you accept as is, but you experientially haven't gone through it, I mean, you haven't figured it out on your own, but you accept it as is, that requires faith. And so your child is here defending their position, but they can't. All they can do is give their position. You know, dad says, look at what Jesus was doing in the temptations. He was proclaiming the Father's position. Father, you gave me these commands. You told me, you know, what to do, what not to do. And he is faithful even in the temptations of saying what? Dad said, it is written, it is written, it is written. But if your child does that in the midst of this group, you know, we're all dialoguing, how you feel, what you're thinking, the child says, that's wrong. Because the position tells somebody else that's wrong. This is right. boy, your child is going to be isolated. And self-love's approval, right? Self-love's, you do that. That's the most painful experience in life is rejection, because you're talking to yourself, and you're, nobody likes me anymore. Having a pity party. Who are you having a pity party with? The others? No, with yourself. You and yourself are dropping homes around, weeping and crying. So get a visual of this. This is what God has to deal with every day with all of us. You know, we're murmuring and complaining instead of praising and exalting and glorifying Him. And it comes with us. I mean, we're born up as children with this. This is our play friend. And so the class then is encouraged not to have anything to do with you, because you're not adaptable to change. You're not relationship building. You're obstinate. You're negative. You know, Jesus said, I didn't come bring peace with a sword. You're divisive. You're causing dissension. This is the common thing in the churches today, is somebody brings in the Word of God and they're instantly identified as causing dissension. You're just hateful. You're hurting everybody's feelings. You just don't know how to get along. That's what Jesus said, learn to get along. You know what the name of the early church was before they were called Christians? I go back to Scripture. I just find testimony of this over and over. What are they called? In the way. That's called you be in the way. You can look at that two ways, you know. Be in the way, the straight and narrow. But when you're in the straight and the narrow, in your room of broad path people, you're in the way. You're bugging them. Now, if self finds identity in the group, and all of a sudden you're like an oddity in this room, and they can't find identity with you, but they want everybody to have identity, you're bringing a conscience in. You know, you're making them feel bad. They want to feel good, so they have to talk you out of talking to Dad and talking to yourself. Because if we can all get together in this room and talk about what we're talking to ourselves about, we can all get along. See, and so that was my agenda, see, is ask your child for a position. All of a sudden he's frustrated because he can't defend his position. It's given to him by God. His justification for his position is Dad said. This is the systems analysis stuff they're looking at. They say, okay, let's look at Genesis. Because Walter Benjamin, who was a Marxist, studied Scripture. Sentence structure Satan used to deliver every man from God. I thought, okay, we don't want to come in America and tell just, the, you know, we wouldn't even be hired by, as teachers to come into the classroom and tell the children not to believe in God. No, that wouldn't go, you know. So what we'll do, this was their idea, was what we'll do is we'll change the classroom environment, the way we learn. We won't have one teacher up front, like a father. Even though as a woman, my mom was a woman teaching, she did what? She gave, as a father, facts or commands and rules, you know, to be obeyed, facts and truth to be accepted as is. She blessed those children who obeyed. She chastened those children who didn't disobey, who disobeyed or did the wrong. And then she did the fourth thing that a father does. If somebody does not recognize and honor this authority structure, you cast them out. Because Hebrews says, you know, if a child refuses to recognize the father's authority, he's a bastard. Pretty tough language. See, not one of my children. They're always talking to themselves. And anytime I tell them to do something, they're talking to themselves. They justify themselves before who? Others, men. And so every child in the classrooms today, everyone, is going through what I call microterrorism. Because they're really being bullied. They talk about bullying. They're being bullied by the group and the facilitator to get rid of Dad's commands and rules and facts and truth. Because their approval now is what they've been talking to themselves about in dissatisfaction to the Father's commands and rules, facts and truth. And so their reward, the grade, the good grade, is in their ability to think outside of what Dad said. To think through themselves, what they want, their self-interest. Now we're in the garden. Because see, God gave Adam, and then I don't know whether God told Eve or Adam told Eve, but she knew what the command was, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She knew the condition. But Satan comes along, a facilitator of change. You ever heard that? That Satan is a master facilitator of change because it's a procedure. So we got rid of the teacher who is teaching facts. And you might disagree. They might be wrong, but there's still this right-wrong structure, you see? Dad and mom aren't perfect. Dad could be wrong, but there's still this right-wrong structure. And as a child, you know, you really want to go to the Heavenly Father. Call no man father on earth, for you have one Father, which is in heaven. But Jesus didn't get rid of the Father because he recognized that, you know, we honor our father and mother. So the office, Dad could be a tyrant, but the office is what's important. And these social engineers knew that if we get rid of the office itself, that the next generation of children, when they opened up the Word of God, would not understand it. Because the structure is here. The same structure. Hebrews gives us the structure. The writer of Hebrews reveals to us God's structure is the same as the father's structure in the home. But our earthly fathers chastened us for their own pleasure because that was still the flesh. But our heavenly Father chastens the same system, see, but that we might partake in His holiness. I thought isn't this brilliant? We don't have to come into America and tell the kids not to believe in God. All we have to do is change the classroom environment, how they're learning. And so we brought a facilitator of change in, which changed the language, how we communicate. Because how does Dad communicate? You know, take the garbage out. Well, he didn't say, well, how do you feel about taking the garbage out? Well, it wouldn't be taken out. What do you think about taking the garbage out? Well, they wouldn't touch it until it started smelling. And then they'd say, Dad, you seem pretty interested in this. Why don't you take it out? You know, they do all this justifying, all this rebellion, all this, and no peace. There wouldn't be a peace in the home. You know, a dog that's selfish. You know what? You ever seen a selfish dog who's never been trained? They chase their tails. You ever seen a trained dog? They're peaceful. They really are. You can put a trained dog in a cage and they're just that happy all day long. Just make sure you water them, feed them. I had a friend out in Missoula who is sitting next to his son, 10-year-old son, and he was squirming and he told him to sit still. He just sit still. And went on for like 10 minutes. Any liberal would have had a fit. Oh, poor kid, let him out of the cage, you know, let him go run. And after 10 minutes, he was conscious. You know, he wasn't drooped over, subconscious, whatever. He was there and he was listening. And finally his dad looked at him and says, you know what I'm doing? No, I'm training you. I'm training you up. So yeah, I can't get to yourself, but you can. So I'm disciplining you, and you have learned to discipline yourself, and you're sitting there, you're still conscious. He didn't pass out. I'm bringing peace into your life. See, and so that's what the Lord does. In the midst of the crisis, He brings peace. And see, if you're talking to yourself, you're not going to have peace. If you're talking to Him, you'll have peace. And so that was the idea was, okay, well, let's identify this knowing, this position. And the language reveals it. He is not kids. I was on a radio show and a TV show with this young guy who was shot 5 times at Columbine. He was brought in to the hospital, and they actually said, we have a dead man who's still alive. And he was sharing how the week before Columbine, the kids were throwing drugs over teachers' heads. These kids had already done a video on exactly what they were going to do, because, see, everybody can share how they feel, what they think, with no judgment. But he said all the kids who were shot, were kids who is a not. I won the race, you did not. See, they're all didactic kids. The girl that was shot, do you believe in God? Shot. See? And so it was a spiritual battle. Because they knew who they were going after. They were going after these positioned children. See? And he was actually witnessing to a student in the classroom, in the hall, when he was shot. See, he'd been homeschooled. His mom just put him in that school for a month. So that's what the world system does. It hates. Jesus said, they don't hate you, they hate me. Because I bring conviction. He didn't bring condemnation. We're already condemned. But he came to redeem us from condemnation. But we are condemned because we love ourselves. more than we love God. So the is and not is key to this. The antithesis is our feelings. And we all know this. You know, Dad says do something we don't feel like doing. Now we have tension. Now we have stress. See? There's a thesis, Dad said, and there's the antithesis, how I feel about it. You know, you read God's word and God says do this, and we have feelings about it. Well, man, if I do that, in all your ways acknowledge Him. That's a good one. I mean, that covers the whole gamma. It gathers everything. You know, I don't know if I feel good about this right here. I might get martyred. And self, you're going with me. So I'll say, I don't like that. Let's just see if we can figure this out. So we just don't bring up. We just won't bring up the Lord here. Because it might be too painful. Because you put your hand to the plow, you know, and you look for pleasure and you run from pain. Isn't that what the scriptures say? Put your hand to the plow and run to pleasure. No. Put your hand to the plow and go straight, right? That's how you don't want the kids out there going every which way. And you mow, you don't want them just, I'll just go any way you want. Make straight rows, you know. Make sure they're parallel. Get stuff done. No, I felt like going over here. And my wife mows a yard, and she's fun to watch because she mows along. We got apple trees, and she'll stop, and she'll look at the apple tree, and then she goes to the next one, and she'll stop and look at the apple tree. She enjoys the journey. You know, I just get out there and work, get it done, you know. But she does a straight line. You know, she enjoys doing it. It's good for her. I get out, it's good for me. But that's what you do, is you discipline yourself. Otherwise, you're all over the place. So the is and not is what they're going after. The UN says the one word that's caused all the world wars is the not. The same word that God put in the garden. You cannot eat that tree. Because we don't like it. Because we like the tree. See, we want to go out and play. You know, we want to go do this. We want to go do that. It's pleasure. We approach pleasure and avoid pain. All of us are children. Till the day we die, we're all children. You know, your parents are children. They have a child within. People say, well, don't you want your child within? No. My child within is wicked. Wicked. I was in New Jersey, had a parent, grandparent say, oh, my grandchildren aren't wicked. I said, sure they are. He got real mad at me. Yeah, they're wicked. See, we have the wrong idea. We come in here and you all look good. That's how we start, you know, we look good. Because we've been talking to ourselves, see? We know by ourselves what looks good, so we'll see somebody else, we say it looks good. When the Lord comes in here, looks at our soul, and He goes, you're all wicked. How would you get along to the family reunion? You came through the door and you say, oh, you guys are all looking pretty wicked today. You know, you need to repent. That's why they put Jesus on the cross, because He just kept showing up and revealing to everybody around Him that they were wicked. Loving the creation, not the Creator. Even the religious leaders. They had a father. Who Jesus defined their father as? Not Abraham. You know, the devil. And what did the devil do? Facilitator of change. He showed up in the garden and delivered Adam and Eve from the father. That's a role. That was my training, was how to deliver all these children from a father's authority. Because if I can deliver the children from the parents' authority, I have succeeded in delivering them from God's authority. Sort of a backdoor approach. Now, Jesus came to separate us from the Father, but not from the Father system. Do you see the difference? So they understood this Father system is key to one world government. Because if I have 20 children in this room and they all have Father's position, they're not going to get along. Because this one child, you would say to the other child, that's wrong. They're behaving, you know, they had a father who thought, you know, robbing bank was good. He said, that's wrong. Now we can't get unity. The only way I can get unity is get all the children who are talking to themselves, because there are some areas they're talking to themselves, they don't like what Dad said. And if I can get them to share their selves, what they're talking to themselves about, we can find a common self we can all agree on, and at that moment we are fatherless. There's no father in the room. That makes sense? See, that's a formula. That's a system. And so the role of the teacher was to move the children away from the preaching and teaching, which goes to your soul, which carries chastening. Now, if you don't have the chastening, the preaching and teaching is just a bunch of noise. To get them to dialogue. So all these meetings today, you'll hear, how do you feel? What do you think? Go to a Bible study. Go to these mega churches. Just torment yourself. Yeah, and but I don't encourage you to do that. But if the Lord sends you there, you know, go and sit and listen to you. Well, how do you feel? What do you think God is saying here? How do you feel about what so-and-so did? Doesn't matter. Because that's what you're doing when you're talking to yourself. You're going, well, I feel and I think. But when talking to God, you're talking to knowing. My people are destroyed for lack of feeling and thinking. My people are destroyed for lack of knowing. How do you know? You read His Word. Are you reading His Word? See, if you're not reading His Word, it's like, are you breathing? You know, you can go without food for 40 days. You can go without water for 7 days. How long can you last without breathing? See, your soul needs breath. The breath of fresh air is the Word of God, because the Word of God speaks to your soul. That's why Jesus said, first temptation, man doesn't live by bread alone. You need that to get to 40 days. He was up to 40 days, ready to die. And he's still hanging on. He's still saying, my dad's word comes first. Wow, that's really humble self, because self is screaming right now. Wait a minute, if you die, what's going to happen to me? I go with you. But every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. See. And so this is the battle of the is and the not, because dad says this is right and that is not. And that's, again, science. All laws of nature, is and not, is and not, and not. That's why first chapter of Romans said they see God in nature, but they refuse to recognize Him. Because they esteem themselves higher than God. They esteem themselves amongst one another. And that was the key of the group grade. Because if I'm grading the children one-on-one, it's like a parent doesn't spank all the children because one misbehaves. He deals with the one. On the day of judgment, you're not going to be concerned about anybody else in this room. It's just you and dad. Just you and dad. That's your conscience. That's accountability. And then, this is why this verse is so important, because once you read what happened in Hades with the rich man and the poor man, and you realize that could be you, the rich man, now you'll be concerned about others. Not until you stand before God and you get chastened, and you realize His wrath can be upon you. You want the chastening, not the wrath, because the wrath destroys. The chastening restores. But if you're cast out, now you're concerned about the other siblings. There's two things. If you're still on self and you don't humble yourself, your agenda will be to rescue the rest of the siblings from the father's authority. That happens to a lot of homeschoolers. You go off to college, they get under some liberal professor they like, and then they see all their siblings, all their brothers and sisters in that home, not free like they are. Not free to talk about themselves or talk to themselves and everybody else in the room and have agreement on all that the world has to offer. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Because that's all we have. Do you know that's all we have? If God didn't reveal Himself to us, that's all we have. There is nothing else. And so that's why in the classroom, all I have as a platform to deliver these children from the Father is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. All that's of the world. See, for all that's of the world is not of what? Of who? The Father. See, there's only two. There's only the Father or us, the children. The lie is we can have both. In other words, the children rule. The Bible says when the children rule, the people are oppressed. You feel oppressed? See, because when you're talking to yourself, you're going to use what dad's money for yourself, right? You consume it unto, what's the verse say? You consume it unto yourself. So that's why God says, you know, I'm not answering your prayers. Because your prayers are all selfish.